It was inevitable that this moment would come. Ever since Yosef heard the dreams of Paro, he knew the day would come that he would see his brothers again. In fact, ever since he had his own dreams, he knew this day would come. But Yosef was sent away long ago, and his brothers came looking specifically to him for food, and Yosef put them through a number of difficult tasks. Part of what Yosef is doing is he's trying to get them to understand what exactly it was that he went through. He separates them, he puts one in prison, he puts all in prison. He lets them all experience a little bit what it's like, what he had experienced. But finally, he sends them and tells them that the only way they'll get more food is that they bring back his brother, Binyamin. And his brother comes, and they all come, and they all sit, and they're all united. And the brothers turn around to go home, go back to their father. They have them all. Shimon is there, Binyamin is there. All the brothers are there, and they start their trip home. Of course, we and Yosef know that it's not exactly the reality. There's one brother that they just now left behind. But they don't seem to sense any loss as far as that goes. They celebrated the night before, they drank together with Yosef, and now they turn to go home. Yosef instructs the person who's in charge of his house to put his special cup in the bag of Binyamin, and again he returns all of their money into their bags, and they leave. Soon Yosef sends someone to chase them down, look through the bags, and what's interesting is that the brothers begin to respond in really the most bizarre fashion. Before their bags are even opened, they say that if any of them took this bag, that person should be put to death. Now that's extreme, and that's bizarre. Because how does each one know? And perhaps what they're saying is, we trust one another so much that we know that no one would have possibly have taken it. Of course, they should have kept in mind the last time they left, someone put something in their bags. And being just perfectly rational, realizing that, how can they say such a thing? But the truth is that Yosef recreated for them one of the most traumatic experiences of their youth. And that was when they ran away when they were young. They ran away from Laban, their grandfather, who chased them down and started looking through their bags. And Yaakov then had said the exact same thing, that if Laban's possessions are found in any of the bags, that person should die. And in a time of stress, the brothers respond exactly like their father did. But that's not Yosef's objective. Yosef then tells them that this person doesn't have to die. He'll stay with me as a slave. He's testing them. Will they turn their back on a brother again? And at this point, Yehuda is really heroic. Because at this point, Yehuda says, no, 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 no. We'll all be slaves. Which, of course, is an absurdity because only one of them was asked to be slave. It's a strange negotiating. But Yehuda and the other brothers seem to have identified some guilt. They know they've done something wrong. They know if any of the brothers deserve to be punished, it's any and all of them, but just not Binyamin. So over here, instead of letting Binyamin be as a slave, Yehuda says, I'll be a slave. Perhaps he doesn't want to go back to his father. Perhaps that's too frightening. And Yosef again has his, no, 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 I'll only take Binyamin. And that's pretty much how the Parsha ends. And even at that point, no, no, we'll all be slaves. Because it seems to be they know that they need or they deserve to be punished. And then Yehuda stands up and gives an impassioned plea. He gives a speech. And what he really does is he lays a guilt trip on Yosef. And he shows how Yosef has been so irrational in this whole thing, asking, father, brothers, bring your brother. And he says, look what you're doing to our father. Look what you've done. Our father's going to suffer. He's lost one son, and now he's going to lose another one. How can you behave this way to this old man? And at that point, Yosef breaks down, but I believe it was very conscious what he says. I believe he's been waiting to say this for a very long time. He reveals himself and he says, Ani Yosef, ha'od avichai, is my father still alive? And at first glance, this is an absurdity. If Yaakov's not alive, then why would Yehuda and all the others be so afraid to come back without Binyamin? If Yaakov was dead, just go back. Okay, they lost Binyamin, but there's no one they would have to turn to. There's no one they would have to explain to. Of course Yaakov's alive. Well, Yehuda had just given a speech. And in Yehuda's speech, he says to this Yosef, who he doesn't know is Yosef, my father will die if you take away the son that he loves. If you take Binyamin away from him, he will die. At that point, Yosef looks them in the eye and says, I am Yosef. Is my father still alive? And we understand what he means. Yehuda had said, if you take away the son that he loves, he'll die. And Yosef says, I'm Yosef. Is my father still alive? And we understand what Yosef is saying. Maybe you were jealous of me. Maybe you hated me. But how can you do this to your father? Even somebody wicked like Esav said, who wanted to kill Yaakov, said, when my father is dead, then I'll do it. How can you do this to your father? I'm Yosef. Is my father still alive? And at that point, there's nothing left for them to say. Because at that point, all the deceit and all the lies, all the excuses, all fall away. At that point, they have nothing left to say.